On today's episode of Big Time, the podcast brought to you by BJ's Tavern, Fort Kent, Maine, everybody's favorite bar, we are joined by our first non-St. John Valley native, but nonetheless made quite the impact during his time at the University of Maine at Fort Kent. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode of Big Time, my main man, Woogie Basu. Let's go. I'm on my way, I'm making it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another round of this thing we call Big Time. Sorry for the delay. It's been a couple weeks. It's been a couple weeks since we've been at it. It's been a busy time working on some other projects, but back with the show. And today we are joined by our first non-Valley resident, but he had a standout, stellar career at the greatest university in the Maine. The University of Maine at Fort Kent's own Hamil Woogie Basu.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On Big Time.
Big Time. What's going on, Tomas?
Well, can you give him a Big Time real quick? How do you say Big Time?
Big Time.
Okay.
Can I get the Charles Barnes Big Time?
Yeah, let me hear the Charles Barnes.
This is my interpretation of Charlie B, or impersonation rather. Big Time.
It's
a big time.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Pretty close.
We'll go with that.
Well, yeah. What's going on, though? How you been?
Good. So, second question is always, what is my guest sipping on tonight?
I think I got some vodka and some ginger ale in here.
More vodka than ginger ale, but that's what it is.
Tom invited me over, and I think he's trying to kill me before I even finish the show. So
it's all I got. It's all I had in the fridge. It's all I had in the cupboard. So we make do with what we have. That's what we got. So I'm going to just give everyone a little bit of a heads up. It's Saturday night when we're recording this. March Madness in full effect. My team's playing right now. I'm a huge Michigan fan. So you might hear me cuss or fucking complain in the background, depending on how things go. Right now we're down 4-1. We'll see what happens. But let's get to it, guys. So first non-St. John Valley representative on Big Time.
It's a pleasure.
Woogie, tell them where you're from, first of all.
Born and raised in St. Kitts, you know, small little island in the Caribbean.
What are we talking about for population?
Man, maybe 30,000.
And what are we talking about for, like, just size of the island? How big is the island?
They try to tell us it's 72 square miles. They try to, but it feels more like 10, to be honest with you.
10 square miles is what it feels like. Okay. Yeah. And whereabouts, what are we talking about, like, in response to everybody, like all the other islands in the Caribbean, where are we at?
So, you know, most people are familiar with St. Martin, you know, a lot of tourists go to St. Martin, so you can actually see, like, the silhouette of St. Martin from certain points in St. Kitts, down in Big Show side of the island.
Okay, yeah.
Shout out to Big Show. You see, I had to drop a Big Show,
countrymen. We'll get to Big Show later on. One question I want to get cleared up real quick before we get into anything else, is it the Caribbean? What's the correct way to say this here? I don't want to keep, you know.
Caribbean.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, Caribbean. You say potato, I say potato. Somebody say something else. No matter. You just know what you're talking about.
We're teaching people stuff here on Big Time as well, you know, educating. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned from the island of St. Kitts, small island nation in the Caribbean, 30,000.
We'll take 40, though. We'll take whatever you give us.
It's a small island. How many indoor basketball courts are we talking about on the island?
Zip zero.
Okay. So
zip zero.
No indoor basketball courts on the entire island. Yeah. And I should probably mention before we even get any further, for those of you that are not familiar with Woogie, I don't know why you wouldn't be. He's a staple up there in the valley. Everyone knows him now. But came to UMFK, played all 4 years, basketball superstar, right? 1,000-point scorer.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Got there.
So you came to Fort Kent to play basketball. What'd you play growing up?
What did I play? Sport-wise?
Yeah.
Soccer. We say football, so... Mm-hmm. But my favorite sport was cricket. play cricket and I did some track and field. Yeah.
That's interesting. I honestly was a cricket player. Yeah, I still don't know the rules of cricket.
Yes, yeah, it's fun, man.
That's
it's,
the sport that can go like 12 hours, right?
Go as long as you want. They have different variations of it. You know, you go from a test match, which can be, you know, a five day event, or you can do you know, some one day, you know, they call them 20-20 now. It's a big thing in the Caribbean. You play 20 over, 6 balls and over. It's interesting though. It's interesting.
I can't get into it.
Yeah. It'll take up the whole show.
Some track and field, some cricket going up, some football. What are we talking about for like competition? Like, not too many people on the island. How many different schools are you talking about on the island? Or how did it work?
Jeez. So, we're talking like basketball or just sports?
Or just like growing up. Because like we have youth programs up here and stuff like that.
Yeah, we got all kinds of different competition. For different level, from preschool to what we call primary school, which is pretty much anything between kindergarten to sixth grade, and then you got you know, your high school levels after that. We technically only go to like 11 grades, whereas you guys go to 12, so that's correct. A little bit different. But yeah, every school compete. Track and field is huge back home, so you got this thing we call intersports, where you have pretty much all the different schools in every different division, whether it's primary school, high school, junior high, that compete against each other and give your school bragging rights throughout the islands. There's about 7 to 8, might be more now, high schools, but when I was there, about 7 or 8.
What's the powerhouse on the island?
Well, if you're talking, well, you are talking to me, so Forever's gonna be Washi. That's Washington Archibald High School.
Yep.
So that's where I went. Powerhouse.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I mean, it can't be too hard to be a powerhouse with 6 or 7 schools, right?
It could be. There's a lot of different athletes, man. We spread out. We definitely spread out.
So when did basketball come into picture?
Yeah, late.
I'm guessing like it can't be, like, you think about the Caribbean, like there's not really any islands that like basketball islands, like track and field is big in Jamaica and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got track and field and football, soccer, that's about it.
Yeah. So where did basketball come to play? Especially like no indoor basketball courts, nothing like that.
So we play basketball in Hurricanes. No matter what, the winds, rain, don't.
Kind of like people play, like people in Indiana play in the wintertime outside.
Yeah,
and stuff,
don't stop.
So I'm guessing when you're playing Hurricanes, there's no jump shots being taken, just straight layups.
You'd be surprised. We get buckets. Yeah. As you can tell, when I first came to Maine, my jump shot was broken.
Correct.
So I didn't shoot because the wind was too strong. Yeah. So it was all layups. But basketball started for me late. I started basketball when I was probably like 14 going on 15. I was probably like a year and a half into my basketball, probably 2 years into my basketball career before I came to Fort Kent.
There's so you're like Joel Embiid, like you picked up a ball like at 15.
Yeah, it was big.
Didn't make the NBA.
It was Big Show's brother. So shout out to Trey.
Let's get to Trey Gonza. Gonza, right? So he was UMFK's original Saint Catitian, right?
Yeah, he's the first. Yeah. I don't know. I guess we call him the first. I'll be the original, but we could call him.
Okay.
I had a better career.
Right. Okay. Yeah. We'll go with that.
They say LeBron James been patting himself on the back. So I'm going to pat myself on the back.
Go for it. Yeah. So Trey came up here at UMFK like in 2002, 2003.
Actually saw him on that video he just posted with
Clavette.
Clavette with the two-hand slam, huh?
Impressive.
Look at that. Wow. Yeah. Who say county boys ain't got no bounce?
I know, right?
It's a lie.
But was Trey like one of the first dudes who kind of left the island and went and played college ball in the States? Or do you guys
we had a lot of talent that I didn't know about for people who went overseas and in college and stuff and actually had careers prior to Trey. But I wasn't a basketball player. I wasn't into basketball back then, so I didn't know about them.
Right.
But the more I got involved in basketball over the last 2 years, thanks in most part to Trey, then it turned out to be quite a few. We had, I mean, from my recollection, at least a solid probably 15, 16 guys that had already went out.
Anybody go any place big, or was it all like?
We had a couple guys that went to some D1 schools, you know, low level D1. One dude actually, I think it was St. Francis that he, St. Francis, St. John's that he actually went to. But, you know, growing up in the island, sometimes you come up in a rough neighborhood, a rough, rough patch.
Yeah.
You take a kid from an island and put him in a city without supervision.
Yeah.
It could go bad.
Kind of like when you came to Fort Kent.
No.
So, at what point were you thinking, because you were late to the game of basketball, at what point were you thinking, like, man, I'm going to try to go somewhere, get out of here, and go play some college ball?
Yeah, it kind of happened unknowingly to me. So, long story short, after Big Show's brother came back to the islands, he kind of put some guys together and asked us to play basketball for the high school that he came to my high school to teach.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have been too far behind him. Because you probably came back like 04.
Mm-hmm. So once he came back, he started coaching us and stuff like that. And then we got this little community league that we have throughout the islands. And I started playing in the junior division there. And I got some recognition. And we made I made the St. Kitts Junior National Team my last year of high school. So before I graduated or went to my prom or anything like that, we actually traveled to Trinidad and played in a tournament down there, a Caribbean tournament, played against all the different Caribbean islands, so like Puerto Rico, Jamaica, Antigua, all these different islands. And when I got back to St. Kitts, it was pretty much, hey, you know, you're going to college, is what I was told. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to college, thinking college on the islands, not knowing that, you know, Trey and my mom was working on getting me into college, like, in Fort Kent. And before you know it, my mom said, okay, you're going to Maine, then you don't question.
Just like that.
Yeah, you don't really question mom. I'm OG. So, yeah, mom said he's going to Maine and didn't know where I was going. But that was an interesting first day in Maine.
No doubt. So, interesting. Prior to coming to UMFK, actually, for school, had you been in the States at all, or was Maine your first stop in the States?
First stop in the States.
Lucky for you, like, you saw the most beautiful place in the country.
I mean,
like,
that's our vacation land. I don't know. You know, I don't know about these other cities, but they ain't got nothing in the county. You know, what would we say, big time?
Big time.
County is big time compared to any other place in the world, man.
Let me hear about your travel date. Your first time to the States, to Maine. So where'd you fly into? Because the airport that you flew into was random as hell to begin with, right?
Yeah. So, left St. Kitts at like 5, nah, probably like 7 in the morning, right? 7 in the morning. Probably the first flight out. And fly from St. Kitts, land in Miami, connect, and flew to Boston. Not knowing I was connecting and flying to Boston. So, we was flying into Boston. I'm seeing skyscrapers. I'm seeing all these different tall buildings and stuff. Never seen a building, you know, taller than about 4 stories. Right. So here I'm seeing these big stuff, and I'm excited. Then we land, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. I like this. It's a city. I've never been to America. I like this. It's what I've seen on TV. And then they told us we had another connecting flight. At first, I actually thought Maine was in Europe. I didn't thought Maine was in the U.S., to be honest with you, because I never heard of it. So then... we fly into Boston, they tell us we're going to connect and actually go to Maine. So I'm thinking, okay, we're going to Europe now. So we go up, and about 45 minutes later, we come back down, maybe not even that long, and we land in Augusta.
You flew into Augusta?
Augusta, Maine.
Who flies into Augusta?
So, yeah. So, and I left St. Kitts, like I said, 7 o'clock in the morning. It was probably 82 degrees.
Yeah.
This is August 31st, by the way. I can remember, like, last day of August when I flew out. And so we land in Augusta, and we're about to come off the plane, and it is freezing. It is cold. And I look at not knowing much about temperatures or anything like that, but people are walking around in shorts and wife beaters, and I'm freezing. So we get our luggage, me and my sister and Arcilla. It was me, my sister Arcilla, and my sister's mom. And we change and put our jackets on because we're freezing. And everybody's looking at us like we crazy or we got 4 heads or something. So sure enough, Coach Kenny, Jeff Kenny, shout out to Jeff Kenny. That's a big time shout out. You gotta get Jeff on one of these podcasts.
He deserves
another
episode.
He's probably one of the funniest dude I know.
Yep.
But he picks us up and he throws us in a van.
Wait a second, before we keep going, what was the temperature when you landed?
It probably was, I would say a solid 69-70.
69-70.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I've never witnessed anything that cold in my life, so yeah, I was freezing. So yeah, I had a Green Bay Packers jacket.
It looked just like the scene from the movie Cool Runnings when they get up
pretty much. Pretty much. That's just exactly what I felt like.
But it's August instead of fucking winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then Kenny pick us up, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if I could do this because it's cold or whatever. But then he drives off the airport, and it's like a Wendy's, and a Wendy's and a Burger King or something like that was there. And I was like, okay. So we stopped, grabbed something to eat. He said, hey, guys, we got a long trip ahead of us. Get ready. He didn't say how long. He just said we got a long trip.
Yeah.
All right. So we get on the highway. And for some reason, down in Augusta, there's a sign that says University of Maine at Fort Kent, exit 264.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about exits because there's no highway.
You don't realize that you're at mile marker 104 at that point or 106.
Well, I don't even know. Even if I knew I was at mile marker 104, I wouldn't even know because we don't have highways, so I don't understand it, right? So I'm like, oh, the university right around the corner. So St. Kitts is small. You could drive around St. Kitts with no highways going 40 miles an hour max in 35, 40 minutes. And we got to go to Fort Kent. So we're driving an hour later. I'm like, we just saw the sign an hour ago. How could we not be there?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, we still got ways to go.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
He didn't give you specifics.
Nah, we just got ways to go still. I'm like, all right. So we get into what now I know is Bangor, you know, and I see the mall and I see the McDonald's and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. We could do this. It got lights.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept driving. And we go past Bangor. And after that, it was no lights on the highway. It was just pure darkness.
Yeah.
And we're freaking out at this point in time. We pull off the highway in Sherman, which is what I know now is exit 264.
Yes.
So I kind of put, you know, two and two together. I say, okay, we're at exit 264. We've been driving for 3 hours at that point in time. I'm like, you know, we're close.
Yeah.
We got to be close now. We're there. And so he gas up at the Irving. And he said, all right, guys, we got about 2 more hours. And you know, Kenny, you know, my first time meeting this guy, like, you know, he's a funny guy. So I didn't know if he was making joke or he was serious. So I was, you know, kind of laugh it off. And then he started driving down what now I know is what, Route 11.
Yes.
Going through the woods, through Patton and those type of stuff. And so when you're from the islands and you're going to a foreign place and not knowing why this guy's picking you up and driving you through the woods, which there's no woods in St. Kitts or in the Caribbean, you start thinking maybe this wasn't a good idea to jump in a car with a stranger.
Absolutely.
So we're driving and he slams on his brakes. And when he slammed on his brake, you know, my sister, myself, we all kind of, you know, popped up and looked up and like, what's going on? And he was like, oh, it's a moose. I was like, what the hell is a moose? We never heard of that word before. So we look out the window and I'm like, shit, that's a... Can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure, you know. I was like, shit, that's a big ass donkey. You know, he's like, what the hell, man? He's like, it's not a donkey, it's a moose. I was like, that's a donkey. He's like, no, it's a moose. I don't know what a moose is. I've never heard of it before. So he's like, nah, it's a moose, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, well, this is interesting. Never seen these type of animals before. Those shits are scary.
Yeah.
They are big. I actually had a close encounter with one on the four-wheeler by your mom.
Yeah.
But, we continue driving and he keeps stopping all the time and pointing out these different animals. And I kind of looked at my sister and I was like, look, if he stopped this shit one more time, because the only thing I can think of when we're driving through the woods and there's no lights or nothing is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. So when he kept slamming on his brake and shit, I kind of looked at my sister and I'm like, look, okay, if you stop this van again, like, we're going to kick his ass and pretty much turn around and go. I said, we can't miss it. We took one turn from the airport. We came straight down the highway. We took a left, got by the gas station, and we've been straight ever since. So we just got to go back because I wasn't sure what he was doing. But like I said, we left at 7 in the morning. And when we got to Fort Kent, it was probably 2:30, almost 3 o'clock the following morning when we was on campus. So needless to say, I didn't get to see the town of Fort Kent when we first came in the first day. So I wasn't sure where I was at. I just knew I drove and there was no lights. And I felt like I was in the middle of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
I can see that. I can understand that. I can definitely understand that for someone visiting the area for the first time, especially under the circumstances. So eventually you did make it, and I remember hearing about you because I was on the, me and you were freshmen the same year, and I remember Eric saying we got a kid coming from St. Kitts and all this stuff. But as I recall, like, you were kind of like a throw-in in the package, right? Like, the big recruit, yeah. The big recruit was Janice. Janice was like the prize recruit out of this package.
I didn't understand that, you know what I mean? I guess they was trying to short sell me. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Janice was the big name. Arcella is just a tank. We all know that now.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a bully going throughout high school and stuff. She used to get in fights all the time. Don't let her tell you anything differently. She was a brute. But Janice was a pride and joy that she was the main attraction for this thing. But, yeah. You know, I made the best of it, I guess.
Yeah, so you show up, this your freshman year would have been 05, the same freshman year as me.
Yep.
And you come to a team coached by one Eric Warrington.
Shout out to S.
Yeah. So you come in as a freshman, and you were young. You were what, a 17-year-old freshman?
Yeah, just turned 17.
Turned 17, and you showed up with a broken jumper. So you, back then, you played power forward.
Yeah.
And what were you weighing in at freshman year?
144, solid 144. That was all muscle, by the way. Don't get it twisted.
144 pounds.
6'2",
17-year-old kid from the island playing power forward in Maine college basketball. Yeah.
Felt like I was 6'8", 500, though. Don't mess it up.
So, how'd that first year go?
It was interesting.
We were still part of the Sunrise at that point, right?
Yeah, we're still part of Sunrise. Linden State was a part of our conference. That was last year. Linden State was part of that conference.
Yeah.
But freshman year was interesting.
Yeah, Fisher was there. Machias was there.
Yep.
Linden State.
St. Joe's of Vermont.
What was the other team? In Vermont Tech, maybe?
Nope, Vermont Tech wasn't there yet. Yeah, Vermont Tech was there. You're right.
Paul Smith, maybe.
No, Paul Smith wasn't. Paul Smith came in after Linden State left.
Yeah.
But Machias.
Yeah.
Machias is there.
Umpy might have been in the conference still at that point.
Nah, they weren't. But we smacked the dog crap out of them. Yeah, see, I said always, crap. Always. Big times.
Do you remember your first college game at all? It would have been a Bengal tip-off, right?
I don't, to be honest with you.
The first year wasn't a great year, to be honest, right?
Well, my first year was a great year for me.
Individually.
Yeah. Second half was. The first semester, it was more of a culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
Like my second day in Fort Kent, after I woke up after that crazy trip, thought that I was going to die and Kenny was trying to kidnap us. Lucas came to the dorms to pick up the girls, of course, because like you said, they were the pride and joy. And took us around town. So we leave the dorm, we drive down Pleasant Street.
Yep.
We get to the stoplight.
Yep. One of the two.
We took a left, went down to BJ's in the International Bridge.
Mm.
We turned around, went back to Rite Aid. Then we turned around and came back and went to the gym. And he was like, "That's the town." And I was like, "Oh boy,
what did
we get ourselves into?" And then we walked into the gym. They actually had something going on. I think that was like for soccer. I think it was. Was it soccer? There was something going on. Because coach, I met coach in the gym. And then when we walked out from the gym, I actually met you that day.
Yeah.
You was in the weight room.
Yeah. Getting big.
Yeah, you was in the weight room. We chopped it up for a little bit. Told me you was going to be on the team. I think that's when me and you actually kind of hit it off from that point on. Which obviously panned out pretty good.
Yeah, we're still tight.
Yeah, we're still cool.
Still tight.
Cool. You know what I mean? I still tolerate you. I don't know if I like you that much, but you know, still tolerate you. but no, it was interesting. I think it was more of a culture shock. Like when you took me under your wing, man, and your parents and family took me in, and that's something that, you know, I hold close to my heart. So shout out to all the Bards, you know, from Papa Joey to Mama Bard. To the legend himself, Legs Labby, you know,
Legs
all you
man.
Guys, I consider you guys to be family, you know. Sammy, Charlito, D-Town, we don't have to say who D-Town is, but
we already know, we know
D-Town
who it is.
Know who it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a culture shock, being in Fort Kent, Maine, and being able to leave your doors open. Never been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we went to I think it was Hannaford. that day. First time you took me to Hannaford, then you left your car running. And I looked at you like, I said, what are you doing?
Was
like,
windows down,
car running. Yeah, windows down, keys in car, car running. I was like, what are you doing? You're not going. And he's like, why? I was like, guess I'm in a different world. But, you know, it's caused a shock. You know, people wasn't used. I think people weren't used to seeing the ethnicity. And just being, you know, being a black guy, kind of stood out. So people knew I was
that,
new.
That was kind of a transition period for Fort Kent, because we had some black athletes, but this was like pre Jamaican takeover.
Yeah, I mean, we was coming in heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, we was coming in. I mean, me, Janice, and Arcelo, that was three off the bat.
Yeah.
And then right after that, we had Chicken. Dwayne Smith came in.
Yeah.
And then after he came,
Barry,
the whole Jamaican Shorty, door opened up.
Oniki.
Everybody. Wally. Damian,
Wally.
You got Dr. C. Wes, he's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. It's just Jody.
Jody, yeah. Arnold.
So Arnold was from Africa, but you know.
Yeah, same thing.
You know,
it's all good.
Yeah, but it was a transition, but the first half of the season, going back to the question though, the first half of the season, it was interesting, it was rough. I didn't quite know what my role on the team was, didn't know how I was gonna fit in. My jump shot was broke.
Yes.
But I had a lot of heart and I played defense. So I figured if I just focus on that, that at some point in time, coach might recognize me.
Yeah.
And an unfortunate situation happened. I think it was when Russo, one of the Russo twins punched a locker room, locker and broke his hand, fractured his hand. And, coach gave me the call to start. It was, we actually had a Halifax trip. It was December. We had a Halifax trip at King's College. And,
great tournament, by the way. Yeah. For those that have not been out to Halifax, Halifax is an incredible city.
Actually, going out there in June.
Yeah, and the college basketball scene in Halifax is dope. Like, they got like four colleges in the city, tremendous atmosphere, great tournament. Go ahead, look.
But yeah, he fractured his hand, and coach gave me the call out there at King's College, and put me in the starting lineup. I think I had probably one of my top 10 best games of my college career that day, and. Yep. Ever since then, I kept me the starting lineup. So
what'd you freshman year? Would you wind up like? What were the numbers for the year? Maybe like almost a double double, right? Maybe like 10 points, like 7 boards.
Sipping, so you know, I'm burping a little bit. Yeah, I think I was around like probably like. I mean, I can tell you the statistics. I was like, I was like 9.87 points a game. Don't ask me how I know that. Yeah. It just kind of stuck with me. You know, I was about 6.5-7 rebounds a game. Turned the ball over a couple, like LeBron.
Yep.
You know, kind of patting my game after him.
Yep.
you know, I had about 2 steals a game. So, you know, I was solid. You know, I was playing against guys that were at least, you know, 4 or 5 inches taller than me and at least 50 pounds.
50 pounds
at least. Yeah. But, you know, I held my own. I got robbed for Rookie of the Year in Sunrise Conference.
Did you get any accolades at all?
I did. I won Rookie of the Year like 14 out of the... 14 weeks out of like 18 weeks.
Who got Rookie of the Year?
Rice. Steve Rice from Fisher. That's my dude.
Yeah.
I wish I gotta catch up with him. I still got Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis Williams, the one with the dreads.
Yeah.
I got him on Facebook. I gotta catch up with Rice. I hope you know, hopefully he's doing good. Hopefully his family's good.
Fisher had some squads though.
They did. Newcomb, Perry.
Perry was nice. Damn.
Newcomb was tough, but Perry was good. Perry was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, they gave Rice, you know. But I did make second team all conference my freshman year. That was good. I think that was a good accomplishment.
What was it?
Second team all conference.
Your rookie year?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that. Yeah. All right. So as I said, like the first year's team, like I ain't gonna lie, like we had a we forgot a name on our freshman year team. Darius.
Oh my Parker. God! What a pitlock, man! Why to pick a lot?
Yeah, I forgot about
how can Parker. We forget Parker?
So,
classic. No athletic bone in his body. Not
Parker,
one.
Parker's that guy that plays for like some mid-major out like in the Midwest, like goes to like fucking Drake University or
he is.
South Dakota State. Like that's Parker, one of those guys that just gets
how
buckets
did we
and you're like, what?
Parker,
what
wow.
is this guy?
My apologies, Parker. If you ever hear this podcast, my good look, Tom.
Parker's listening to the podcast right now, still wearing his green UMFK tracksuit.
He is. He's UMFK.
Dipping and drinking some beer. Shout out to Parker.
He probably if charge was a stat, like taking charges was a stat, he would be the all-time leader in any conference.
Would lead the country every year.
Any conference, don't matter. Yeah. Any conference.
So
took a charge.
Yeah. So our team was a little rough that freshman year. Sophomore year though got a little bit better, right?
Freshman year, we made it to the Final Four. We made it to the Final Four.
Lost to Linden State.
Then lost to Linden State. I think we lost by like 10. I think that was our biggest loss actually.
Yeah,
lost by 10.
And then second year was better though. G came in.
Yep, G came in. You know, G was a 6'4", 6'5" point guard. He's probably like the third or fourth tallest guy on the team. But he came in. He gave us an edge that we needed.
He was feisty.
He gave us an edge that we needed at a point guard position.
Yeah.
Redis always had heart. Redis played hard. But I think Redis was more of a score type point guard.
Yeah.
Where G took pride in like locking you down, getting in your face, trash talking, and I think a lot of the guys that we had on the team thrived off of that. Like, I like people that talk shit.
Yeah.
I don't really talk much shit, I don't think. But maybe I'm lying. But I like the fact that G used to do that. He kind of pushed, you know what I mean? When you see your point guard, the guy that has the ball, you know, most of the time and he's leading by example, then you kinda just follow that lead. Kinda get chippy with everybody.
Yeah.
So but sophomore year we did good. You know, I think we lost in the finals sophomore year.
Yeah, we played.
We lost in the finals every year after that.
I think we played St. Joe's.
That right? Hurt.
It was in Redmond.
Sophomore year we lost to Fisher
in the championship. We beat St. Joe's in the Final Four.
Lost to Fisher.
Yeah,
pissed me off. Newcomb, I hate you still. But like Perry was graduating.
Fisher had them squats though.
They were tough. Yeah. They were tough. I mean, that was the best games. Like we got up to play those games, and I think they got up to play us as well. I think that was the game that you kind of circle on the calendar.
No doubt.
Yeah.
What was the weight gain from freshman year to sophomore year?
I went from about 144 to a solid 148.
Okay, it wasn't that much. It was
148
incremental.
Yeah, 148. I mean, it's muscle. You know, muscle mass. So just take that into consideration, folks. You know, I did more push-ups than I usually did in regards to hitting the weights. Tom tried to take me in there a couple of times. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah. He was young. You were only 18 your sophomore year.
Yeah. Still coming into my own.
Yeah. So the team got a little bit better from freshman to sophomore year. And then you lost your man. I stepped away. I dropped out of school. I was a college dropout.
Yeah. I mean, I think I kind of went through a depression state. Yeah. That would have been sophomore year?
Junior year. I moved away. I dropped out of school.
Yeah. I think I kind of went through a depression state because that's when I kind of actually gained weight.
Yeah.
You know?
So oh, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
It kind of come full circle. You know, I went from about $148 to a solid 165.
At least. I mean, it could have also been that tremendous Nallen Hall cafeteria food. But before we get to that, we're going to get into our segment here. We got to get to our first round of
what
questions.
We got?
Ladies and gentlemen, the segment sweeping the nation, this little thing we call Ethan Asks on Big Time.
I can only imagine.
You know Ethan, right?
I know Ethan Raymond.
Yeah.
I mean, I was still kind of upset, Ethan. I ain't getting no invite to the wedding and stuff. I know we wasn't like close, but I think I was close to the Bards. I think I would have got the extended
invitation. Yeah, like if the Bards get invited, then Woogie should be invited. We'll talk about this later. Anyway, round one of Ethan Asks on Big Time.
Today's version of Ethan Asks Big Time Questions. Woogie, I gotta know, man. I don't even know where the fuck the nickname Woogie comes from. You guys may have already talked about this in the show already, but that's my first question for you. What's the story behind it?
What's the story?
It's a great question.
That's a phenomenal question.
Well, you mentioned it early on, like, because I think everyone just knows you as Woogie.
Yeah.
I might be the only person that calls you by your real name sometimes.
Yeah, that don't even exist sometimes.
Yeah, so the real name is Samil. Pursue
something like that.
Do you even have a middle name? Or you don't?
Yeah.
You don't do it in the Caribbean.
I mean, I do have a middle name. It's interesting.
You don't want to share it, or
I can share it. I mean, my first name Hamill actually came from Mark Hamill,
the The fucking the actor. Star Wars?
Star Wars guy. Luke. I'm Luke Skywalker. Yeah. Interesting fact. Bet you didn't know that. I don't know what the hell my mom was thinking.
There we go.
She actually let my godmother name me. Okay. So my godmother was a big Star Wars fan. She named me after Mark Hamill. And then I guess she was a big fan of actors because my godmother gave me my middle name and it's Voight.
Voight. Oh, fucking.
John Voight. John Angelina Voight. Jolie's dad. It's the craziest thing. Like, it's the furthest. I promised myself I wasn't going to curse, but it's fucked up.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Interesting.
All right. So where does Woogie come from?
So.
I'm learning new shit.
Everybody knows learn. So this is kind of interesting. Supposedly, you know, I've known myself as Woogie since I've known myself. But supposedly it was said that when I was growing up, my mom, you know, you tickle your kids, you tickle your babies, and you go, Woogie, 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 Woogie. That's what she used to do. And then as I got a little bit older and, you know, you want to teach a kid their name, she wanted to call me by my name and she'd say, Hamel, 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 Hamel. And I wouldn't react. But every time she said Woogie, I would turn. So
Woogie's what it is.
Woogie's what it is.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, a good question, Ethan. But yeah, just forget about the middle name, okay, guys?
From now on, it's fucking Luke Skywalker is what we're gonna call
Luke Skywalker. That should be my new moniker.
This is like a breaking news St. John Valley Times special edition.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible stuff.
Yeah, I learned that. I actually learned that probably like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, you didn't even know until
I kind of just questioned myself and said, what the hell is a Hamel?
Yeah.
Where does Voight come from?
You pronounce it Hamel. But like, it's Hamill, isn't it?
Well, it depends on where you were. Like, since I've been in America, everybody tried to, you know, I've changed the way I pronunciate a lot of words.
I call you two things. I call you Hamilton.
Yep.
And then I also call you Hamilly.
Interesting fact.
Hamilly was.
You want some fact finding?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton?
Yeah.
Guess where he was born and raised?
On the island of St. Kitts?
Right on Nevis.
On Nevis.
Sister Island. Nevis.
No, but yeah. Shit.
Founding father of America. Got some Caribbean blood in him.
Listen
so
to this.
When you guys see me, you should call me the founding father.
Oh my God.
Okay, I got more in common than him than you guys do.
Let's just go with Luke Skywalker. Just
Luke Skywalker. Luke. I like all right. That.
Let's get back to it then. So, junior year is when things kind of turn around at UMFK. So, Jimmy Lopez, that would have been, is that Jimmy's senior year or were you and Jimmy?
No, me and Jimmy came in the same year.
Okay. So Jimmy, this is when Jimmy was in fucking straight up assassin mode.
Beast mode. Okay. I'm going to back up a little bit, right? Because I have to say this. Freshman year, when we all got into the gym, the first time ever going into the gym to play pickup with the team, for some reason, I was the last person in the gym. I'm not going to say that I'm never on time, but for some reason, I was the last person in the gym. And when I got picked up, they told me I had to guard that guy. They just said, go guard him.
It was Jimmy?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's easy. It's a chubby kid over there. I go guard him.
Chubby, tatted up.
Chubby, just chunky. Chunky, right? And so I'm like, okay. But everybody kept being like, didn't want to guard him. And I didn't understand why until he got the ball in the first possession.
Splash.
And fucking crossed the shit out of me.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, it sounds wrong for me to say it, but I'm going to say it. I was like, he's too chubby to be moving that fast.
Yeah.
But he crossed the shit out of me and then hit me with a step back 3-point shot. And
splash.
Yeah.
And when Jimmy
shoots, Jimmy Lopez.
When Jimmy shoots, there's no such thing as hitting rim.
Nah.
Every Jimmy Lopez.
Is
a splash.
He makes it, it's splash. If he miss it, it's back rim.
Yeah.
It's one or two things. So it's no, Yeah, I learned my lesson then. So I tried to face guard him and make sure he didn't touch the ball for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and he still found a way to get a bucket.
He still found a way to get a bucket. So it was good.
So yeah, Jimmy, G was still there, sophomore year.
G was there. Eddie was still there.
Big Show.
Big Show came.
Big Show second year.
Big Show came. No, first year.
Yeah, you're right. You're
Big
right.
Big Show first year. Yeah. Big Show came. We had Goran.
Goran
was there.
A young Sam Bard.
Oh my God. Sam, stay off the wards, man.
Yeah.
Stay off the wards. Jeez. Sam Bard came in. We had one kid on the team named, was Tom Ellis on the team?
Yeah.
Tom Elias.
Tom Elias.
Tom Elias was on the team at that point in time.
Yep.
karate chop Big Show and the Juggler.
Oof.
Almost killed Big Show. That was probably our best. I think that was our best. No, actually, back up. Senior year. Senior year probably was our best all around team.
Yeah.
We had B-Fox.
We'll get to the senior year. So what happened? Junior year, you guys went to the championship game again.
Junior year, we went to the championship. Okay, so this one hurt. My junior year is a year that I tried not to relive, as good as it was. Yeah. That one hurt. I think that was my first time I actually cried after losing an actual game.
The championship?
Yeah. Yeah. St. Joe's.
Was that St. Joe's again?
No.
Lost to St. Joe's.
We lost to St. Joe's.
Richie Ortega. Shout out to Richie.
It's not even Richie Ortega. I mean, Richie Ortega is a beast. Shout out to Ric Flair, man. You are an absolute beast. Shout out to Richie, but it was, oh my God. If he ever listened to this, he's probably going to be laughing, but it was Doug Childs.
I don't remember the name.
Dougie.
I remember, they had a solid squad. But you guys shouldn't have lost, though.
Had a solid squad. Doug Childs. Rui Carmo was on that team. Carmo, Hispanic kid that played with the grill. Yeah, he got player of the year that year. Playing against St. Joe's. I mean, this is going down to the wire. Probably like a minute and a half left in the game. You know, we're up by probably like 2 or 3 points. I can't even recall it. I try to block this thing out of my head so much. But they forced a turnover. They forced a turnover, and Doug Childs catches the ball in the corner and knocks down a 3-point shot to put him up. Put him up. And I want to say we got the ball, inbounded it to Jimmy Lopez down court, and Jimmy rised up to shoot a three. And I think coach called a timeout while Jimmy was going up into his shooting motion. He calls a timeout. The referee awards him with the timeout, but Jimmy actually switches to three.
Oh.
Jimmy actually swishes the damn three, which would have put us back up ahead. But coach had already initiated the timeout and got awarded the timeout. And we came out of the timeout to inbound the ball. I had the ball. I was about to inbound it. Throw an inbound pass, and out of nowhere, freaking Rui Carmo comes and poke it out of one. I think it was Dave or Billy, one of the Russo's hands.
Pokes it out of
one of their hands, and they get it and go down and score again, and we fucking lose the championship.
I remember this shit was at SMCC, right in Portland. I was there, yeah. Oh, what a fucking crushing defeat.
Oh, my God. And then they try to tell me to line up and go shake hands.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for cursing, but no. I'm going to cry. I'm sorry.
I actually tried to console you. I was like, let me go see my boy real quick.
Oh, my God. It was bad.
But you know what, though? So, like, that was, like, your saddest day as a UMFK athlete. But you know what? Your fellow Saint Catician on that same day, Arcilla, had the most dominant championship performance of all time.
I mean...
Arcilla had like 38 points.
Yeah, 38 and 20 or something like that. And 38 points, 20 boards.
Yeah, she like missed like one shot the entire game.
She is unheard of.
Yeah.
Unheard of. Yeah. Unreal. Yeah. Unreal.
So that was the most crushing
defeat.
It was
good and bad. It was bittersweet because, you know.
Because that was the first time the girls.
Yeah.
That was the first time that team was going to nationals.
Yes.
It had been a couple years since they had won. Yeah. And then you came that close to winning the first. It would have been the first conference championship for the boys team. Yeah. Came
three times.
Yeah,
three straight years.
Nah, at that point,
sophomore year.
This is your junior year, though, right?
Yeah, sophomore year we lost by 4 to Fisher.
Yeah, and then junior year, was a heartbreak.
I think it was. They ended up being 3 points because they stole the inbound and scored.
Yeah,
it was down one. And then
let's hold off on senior year for a second before we get there. So junior year was the crushing defeat.
Yeah.
How about individually? Were you getting all conference at that point?
Yes, I was all conference. I was second team all conference.
That was, you're gonna call it the most crushing defeat of your college career.
Yeah, most.
Because you guys were clearly the better team that day.
Oh, by far.
And you would beat Fisher to get to the championship.
Yep.
Yeah. So you come around one last run your senior year, probably your most talented team, right? So we have B Fox. Brandon Fox shows up as a freshman. The B Fox was a monster.
Brandon the Black Hole Fox.
Yeah, he didn't like the pass. But for good reason.
For good reason.
The boy got buckets. B Fox came in. MGB.
MGB.
Manny Otabella.
MGB, boy.
Manny came in.
Big time, right here.
So you saw Jimmy. You had Big Show. Big Show got in shape. Jimmy was in the best shape of his life.
We had Yair Gal still there. We had Goran was there still. Senior year. B-Fox. Manny. Big Show. Yair. Goran. Myself. Jimmy. Ilya.
Sam Barton.
Sammy B. Yeah, that was the squad.
That was your best team, talent wise, probably.
I wouldn't say best team all around. Yeah, Alan Campbell. Yeah. Alan Campbell. Yeah. Talent wise, yeah.
And what was the result? This was your last chance to get a championship and go to nationals.
Yeah. So we go through the year. I'm playing great. I'm having the best career season of my entire college career. You know, points wise, rebound wise, assist wise. Get to the Final Four. We're playing at New Hampshire. We're playing in New Hampshire. And first round is against Machias. Just ran over those guys. They weren't ready. We were zoned in. It was my senior year. We was focused on getting a chip. So we got over Machias. Then we go into playing against Fisher College. Okay, the arch nemesis. And here I am, my senior year. And I'm going up against Stephen Rice.
Baller.
Okay, Stephen Rice. My rookie of the year nemesis again. Mm-hmm. Okay, throughout our whole 4 years, we kind of battled and it was good. So going up against Steve Rice, you know, they lost Newcomb, they lost Perry, but they got this guy named Brandon. And then they had this other kid on there that can shoot the ball. But they had a squad. They did. And we came up short. Came up short that game. You know, we battled. I think we lost by like four again. We never lost.
It was never a blowout. It was always a close game.
Always close games. And they just they finished better than we did down the stretch. That's all it came down to. I think I could have been a three-time Sunrise Conference champ if we could have just finished down the stretch. You know, we always seem to fall apart at the last two and a half minute mark. And it just...
And the worst part of it is, what happened the next year after you graduate?
These fools go and win the championship.
And go to nationals.
Oh, my God. But I felt good because, you know what? I was still so committed to that team. You know, and shout out to S. I appreciate it, Coach. When I graduated and I moved down to Bangor, it had some trips where they would be going to Vermont. And Coach would call me and Coach would say, hey, you know, we're going to Vermont. Or we're going to be playing in town. What are you doing? Can you get off work? And he will pick me up right in Bangor. I get the weekend off. I'll tell my boss, you know, I'm working at St. Joe's at the time, get the time off and jump on the bus and go to Vermont with the team on the weekend. And, you know, kind of was like an honorary assistant coach, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which was great. It was good trips. I still, you know, wanted to be a part of the team. And then Coach, they made it to the championship. And I drove down there, so it couldn't have been that far. Forgot where they played that championship game, but I drove there, so it must have been in the state. But we get down there, and just being in the stand, kind of looking on and seeing them go to work. Man, he had a great game. B-Fox was rocking.
Yep.
Big Show did his thing. JJ was JJ.
Yeah.
But they balled out, man. They balled out. They deserve it. I lost my voice before the game even got to halftime. But yeah, I was happy. I was excited. You know, I finally felt like, you know, we did it. Even though I wasn't there, but I was happy because I felt like I at least contributed to some of the growth of some of those guys.
And you mentioned a little bit earlier, you kind of like a honorary assistant coach. Well, you had some great assistant coaches when you were playing there.
Man,
you mentioned Jeff Kinney earlier, but you also had a moment where Chad Gervais and Derek Cooper were
Chad Gervais and Derek Cooper.
Both of them are big time alums. Let me hear what a pep talk from your assistant coaches Jared Cooper and Chad Javere. Like, I'm guessing they had different styles.
Well, the thing is, you got Coach S, right? So you got Eric. Eric is going to come in and Eric is going to give you the typical head coach approach. Guys, here are your matchups. Okay, this is what this person likes to do. This is the schemes that we're running. You know, the typical stuff. So you expect it. And then, you know, we're walking out, we're going down the, you know, if we're in the jungle and we're walking out down the hallway and, you know, you got Derek Cooper that'll pull you aside and be like, whoa, what's up, Coop? He's got a guard Louie today. Ready for this? Yeah. Guard him multiple times. Nah, you don't like, you ready for this? Shit, Coop, calm down, yeah? I'm fired up. You're not fired up. Get fired up. And so Coop was the one that, I think he still felt like, he was out there. Like, he really talked to you like he was about to go out there and play next to you.
No doubt.
Which is great. He's a competitor. And then Chad is just a... When I think of Chad, man, I think of the commercial about the most interesting man in the world.
That's Chad.
Because Chad was just... He'd give you the super cool approach. Like, man, I'm coming in. Look... You about to play a game, but look at the kicks that I got on today. You see these? I just got these in. You know what I mean? If you play good, I might give you one. You know, just to kind of give you the relaxed vibe. You know, it was a serious game. People got jitters. People got butterfly.
Yeah.
You know, Coop is gonna get you fired up and want you to run through a wall. And Chad would be the guy. Like, if you were really like had jitters and butterfly, like, you just go and look at Chad, and he'll probably say some off the wall funny stuff that kind of just take your mind away from stuff, you know. So yeah, it was a good dynamic between all of them. Road trips was a blast.
Yeah.
Coop and his stories when we're on the bus.
You know, I always say shit about peanut butter.
We won't go into that one, but just know that Coop is a peanut butter fan. I don't know if it's because he likes to work out and his protein.
Yeah.
On the bus, the stories weren't about protein when he talked about it. So
we'll leave it at that. I know. We're pretty much, you know, no censors here, but we don't want to get into that.
Yeah. Right. Hey, what did Ethan ask me? I like Ethan. Ethan got no more for me.
Ethan do has another ask.
Yeah, what do you got?
That's what I was transitioning
about to.
I'm
about to say. Let me see that.
So we talked about your UMFK career. We're going to get into your UMFK off the field career in a second.
Woo!
But before we do that, Ethan Raymond, step on up.
So you came from St. Kitts in the Caribbean up to fucking Fort Kent, Maine. How the hell did you adjust to the Arctic? Fucking sub-zero temperatures. Did you even own a jacket before you came to the States at all? Like, what the fuck was that even like? I can't even imagine.
It's a great question.
It's a beautiful question. So, Ethan, I haven't adjusted, and I've been here since 2005.
He's in my apartment right now with a winter jacket and a winter jacket on top of his winter jacket right now. No joke.
I got a coat, I got a hoodie, and I got a shirt underneath here. And yeah, I'm keeping warm. So I haven't adjusted to answer that part.
And the apartment is set at 76 degrees right now, and he's still layered up like this.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
And in regards to owning a jacket, I did own a jacket because, you know, Trey told me it was going to get cold. But I owned a jacket that was a St. Kitts jacket. So
basically a windbreaker.
It was, yeah. You know, like the starter jackets, the little starter jacket plastic windbreakers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I had a couple of those.
Yep.
I had a couple of those. It worked well on the first night, I can tell you that. But now that you have CNN coming up there to report record-breaking snowfalls and taking out international bridge, I wasn't ready for that type of winter.
Yes, so you were around for the flood. You were around for some pretty crazy winters. But as cold as it got, let's hear about the nightlife in Fort Kent. Like, how quickly did you adjust?
Because
I know you adapted because you were in Round Point. You were going to Cabineau.
Yeah.
You were going to house parties.
I went Costigan's.
Costigan's. We were doing it all.
I went to Mokopay.
Mokopay.
Okay, I got kicked out of BJ's quite a bit because I wasn't old enough. And up until when I graduated college, I still wasn't old enough to actually be in a bar. Because I graduated before I was 21, so kind of interesting. But yeah, nightlife in Fort Kent, man. A couple of house parties. My man Ryan.
Shout out to Ryan Neto.
Ryan Neto. Shout out
to Tommy D's. How about the community? Let's hear about Fort Kent. So
Fort Kent enough itself, huh? Fort Kent is it's a beautiful place, and I'm not just saying it because we're on this podcast about Big Time, but when you're coming from where I come from and coming from the Caribbean and growing up in, you know, in areas that I kind of grew up in, Fort Kent kind of changed my outlook on life a little bit. Helped me to be a little bit more trustworthy towards people a little bit, yeah. Whereas, you know, I didn't really like people that much in regards to, you know, actually being able to trust somebody with certain things.
Right.
But the community, I mean, it was awkward at first. I remember my first day walking on the streets of Fort Kent, cars was passing and people were breaking their necks to look at me. And I remember my first time going to Parody Shop and Save, and I was walking down one of the aisles, and you know, this little kid kind of like was pointing and kind of looking at me.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't feel no type of way about it. I just didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Because that never happened to me. I wasn't in America to understand, like, the, you know, how people, like, actually the racial stuff and things like that. It just didn't matter to me. And the kid wasn't being, you know, inappropriate or anything like that. He's a little kid. He's just
didn't know no better. Yeah. We got to get to our other segment, which is actually officially sponsored, guys. Charlito Wonders, officially brought to you by Rock's Family Diner.
What?
I'm not shitting you.
How Charlito get sponsored?
Charlie got sponsorship dollars.
I gotta give me a segment on this, man.
Yeah, people dropping the bags.
What's Ethan's segment?
Ethan Ass.
Ethan Ass. And Charlie's what?
Charlito Wonders.
I'm a fine one, man.
So, Charlito Wonders here on Big Time.
Yo, Woogie, what's up, man? It's Charlito, your brother of a different color. First international flavor on the podcast. It's a pretty big honor. Just wondering who out there in Fort Kent made your transition from St. Kitts to Northern Maine the easiest? So the group of guys, one individual, who do you want to thank the most for making life smooth in Fort Kent, man?
Wow.
Great question.
It's an easy question.
I've never heard "brother of another color."
Anymore. Yeah, that's classic though. You might need to copyright that. Yeah. Might need to copyright, but that's a, I mean,
put it on the t-shirt.
It's a great question, but it's an easy answer for me, and it's pretty much the barge. I mean, Tom, and I know it's a podcast and stuff, and I don't want to be all sentimental and shit, but
that's cool. I'm cool, man.
Nah, but you know, I'm alright. It was times where, like, so I came in August. You know what I mean? And the people are around and everything's going great. But I'm a 17-year-old kid. It was Thanksgiving. We didn't go... Yeah, we went up to the bars that year. And, you know what I mean? You guys treated me like I was one of your own. So, in regards to making my whole experience in Fort Kent, like, easy, if I had to just pick one thing, it would be Tom, AKA the Barbs.
Yeah.
And that never changed. So it's like Christmas came around that year. My sister left. She went back home to celebrate Christmas with the family and stuff. But I stayed. And once again, I was in my dorm room and, you know what I mean, Tom called me up. What you doing, man? Come on, let's go. I'm outside. And we went up and, you know what I mean, I had Christmas meal. I fell in love with that green bean casserole.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Holiday traditions.
Yeah, green bean casserole by Mama Bard. And, yep. You know what I mean? I actually got a couple presents, a couple DVDs and stuff.
Oh,
and
shit.
Yeah, she gave me a couple DVDs. And, you know what I mean? It's those simple things that goes a long way. You know, Pam would stop by or send Tom in town with some pumpkin chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, cookies get you every time.
That was great. And then, you know, it's just a whole family vibe and feeling appreciated, feeling like, you know, people actually cared. So, you know, you guys family did. Yeah, you guys mean a lot to me.
No doubt.
And legs. And legs,
man.
Legs always, you know, made sure, you know, if I saw him and I was walking by, you know, he gave me some of his finer magazines to expand my horizon.
Of the gentleman type.
Expand my horizon. Some of those, you know, the magazines I really needed.
Legs is that dude. So we're going to do a little quick game to get up out of here. But before we do that, we didn't really touch on it. So you wrapped up your UMFA career with 3 straight defeats in the conference championship game. Yeah. Disappointment. Individually, though, 1,000 points.
I mean, it's 13-15 if you want to be 13-15.
All conference, second team, sophomore and junior year.
Yeah, senior year. I don't understand how I didn't get any kind of recognition.
No recognition?
You know, I'm gonna vent my saltiness right now.
Nah, we don't have time.
In scoring.
We don't have time for that.
Top 15 in rebounds.
Nobody want to hear that.
Top 25 in assists.
There you go.
All right, whatever. I'm done. All right.
But not bad for a kid who came from the islands at 17 years old, weighing 144 pounds.
800 plus rebounds.
Yeah, only played 2 years of ball college. Only played 2 years of ball prior to arriving. So. Yeah. Not bad. You did all right.
All right.
So a couple things before we get up out of here, actually. A couple things, because this is a segment or part of the show we came up with Aaron Dumas. When you die, what jersey do you want to be buried in?
That is deep.
It's deep.
Damn,
it's
deep. That's kind of you kind of killing me.
Yeah.
When I die, what jersey I want, if I had a choice to be buried in a jersey?
Yeah.
It got to be number 11.
UMFK.
It got to be the green and gold.
All right.
I mean, I would prefer if they would make a special jersey for me.
Because you had ugly jerseys.
Them gold ones are shitty.
Yeah.
The white ones are...
Eric, that was the worst decision you ever made as head coach.
Yeah, get out of here with that. That gold...
The font was like a Crayola coloring.
Get out of here, coach. We thought they were fly, though.
They're all right, but...
Nah, after you wash them, they started wrinkling. Coach, come on, man. Hey, epic fail.
Yeah.
But, I would want to be... You know what? I would love to be buried in a UMFK jersey. Preferably a black one.
Okay, we'll go black. You know? Yeah, because they do have black ones now.
Black ones are nice. Yeah. I seen them.
All right, okay. So we can do that.
I haven't seen the number 11. But
maybe they got a safe for you.
Yeah, save that for me.
Maybe just put a sign.
Tom Bird.
There you go. We'll make the call.
Number 11.
Keep also, let them know. What are you doing now? Let them know what you're doing right now.
Right now, you know, I'm in Bangor.
Yep.
I'm in Bangor, Maine. Bangor. Yep. And I do human resources for, the utility company around here in Merrim, Maine.
No, doing good thing, and molding the future youth. You're coaching a travel team, and
try to invest, do a lot of volunteer work around here in regards to sports. So I coach a lot of travel teams in Bangor and in Levant. Do some rec stuff out there as well. They keep me busy. I start officially. I'm an AAU coach.
Yeah.
Officially with Black Bear North.
And that's the program in the state right there.
Program, so, you know, they gave me the call up. I guess I've been...
It's just until Braxton hits AAU age, and then we're going to form our own team called Gang Green, because we're Bengals once, with Lee Green, so we're going to call it Gang Green.
Once Braxton's ready to do, you know, even if from the time he can make a layup on a regular size hoop, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Straight. I'm tired. Brax!
It's coming. Well, before quit name dropping, because that's what we're gonna close out here with. All right, okay. I'm gonna run through a bunch of names.
Okay.
First thing that come to mind, just it can be
okay.
One single word or just something real quick.
I'm gonna give you all kinds of single words here.
All right, we're gonna just kind of go with guys that you know during your time from Fort Kennett and beyond. We'll start with the dude who got you here, Tregonza Henry, the original Saint Catitian.
OG.
Okay. Big Show, also a Saint Catitian.
My brother.
Eric Warrington, head coach.
S, the boss.
Jeff Kinney, assistant coach.
Funny dude.
Okay. Derek Cooper.
Diesel.
Chad Gervais.
C-Cuts.
Okay.
C-Cuts.
Still nice with them Clippers.
C-Cuts.
Jimmy Lopez.
Wow. Sound like you said on that one.
Yep.
That's my guy.
Samuel Bard.
Sammy Steroids.
Okay. All right. How about Big Bro Charlito?
Ah, Charlito. FK Finest.
Always. How about Joey Bard?
Joey Bard. That's Papa, man. Like, it ain't much I can say about Joey and Legs. It's like, yeah. That's Pops.
All right. How about Pam Bard?
Don't need to say it. Speechless.
All right. Manny Otabella.
My guy. That's my bro.
All right. B-Fox.
Pass the ball, B-Fox. Pass the ball.
BJ's Tavern.
The spot.
The spot. China Garden.
Coconut Shrimp.
Plored Century Theater.
Jeez, I'm Twilight. I think that was like the first movie I went in there and watched.
Oh God. It was actually, we went on a double date. That was the first date I went on with Amber.
Oh my God, it might have been Twilight, right?
All right, you know what? Let's shut it down.
Is that it?
Michigan's down 6 with 10 minutes to go. I got to watch the game here. hey, ladies and gentlemen, one more time.
Yeah.
Hamill Woogie Basu.
Woogie Basu.
On Big Time.
Luke Skywalker.
Thank you for coming through. Any last words before we get up out of here?
Keep it going, man. Keep it going. You know, anytime you want me.
We should do like a, we should host one when we're interviewing somebody, and I should just be here. Pop-up guest.
Yeah.
Can I get like a pop-up guest status? You don't have to put me on the payroll.
All right. Yeah. There's not enough money for that anyway, so.
I'm just saying. You need a sponsor?
Yeah, we do. Ethan Astin's a sponsor, and I could always use bags of money, so.
I don't know about bags.
Yeah.
I could get you a couple.
But the sponsorship dollars are going to good. Like, if you guys can see right now, we got new microphone stands.
It's a nice little setup.
Yeah, you guys going to see that.
I mean, the only knock I have on the setup is that I ain't had, like, you know, I'm a Hennessy type of guy. I settled for the vodka. But Amber came through in the crunch.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mix me a little something before I go. Guys, if you're going to be drinking, drive responsibly.
It's St. Patty's Day.
Put that out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Safety first. Okay. Make sure you know what's going on. But, yeah, it's St. Patty's Day, so
Woogie's gonna go get his Irish on.
About to go get fucked up.
All right. All right, there you go. Great words for the youth. We'll have to block that out. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another big, big episode, as always. But with that, this has been Big Time.
Big Time.